I believe the year was 1977. Maybe you remember. The lines were out the door. I was in high school. I remember it like yesterday. It's amazing how the memory just comes back. The line went around the building, down the block, and it was the showing of Star Wars. Remember? 1977. There was so much hype around that movie. People wanted to go to it, and then, you know, you sat in this cold theater, you watched this movie, the words came on the screen, you remember how they vanished into the darkness, and then that ship just came through, and it was amazing. I mean, you look back at the technology that they had back in the 70s, and that film is just absolutely amazing, the technology. And then you come to the end of the movie, to be continued. I remember, you know, actually sitting there thinking, you've got to be kidding. Maybe some of you had the same feeling that I had. And we waited and we waited and we waited for the next movie, the part of the story. I saw the trilogy, I saw all three, and they tell me even today they're continuing to tell the story, going back and forth, and I haven't even followed it to this day, but I think the foundation of those three movies are just fabulous. The reason why I bring it up is because we have an opportunity, because it doesn't happen often. A couple weeks ago, I preached about Jesus taking two fish and five loaves and multiplying it and feeding 5,000 people plus the women and the children. Last week's gospel, if I recall, Jesus is walking on the Lake of Galilee. And then today's gospel, Jesus confronts the people that are following. A massive amount of people are following Jesus. He turns around as a great rabbi would and just basically asks them questions and talks to them and says, you're not following me because of the sign that I have performed. Rather, you're following me because you ate and you were full. He's saying to them, your intentions are not right. You're not sincere. Labor for food that does not perish. This is what theologians call the bread of life discourse, John chapter 6, which, if you care to know, is my favorite passage in all of the New Testament, John chapter 6. Next week, we hear a continuation of it, and the week after. So we have almost this trilogy. We start with Jesus taking the fish and the loaves, blessing and feeding, Jesus walking on the water. The story continues. And then Jesus turning around and saying, I am the bread of life. And then following next week, we see the conclusion of how those people react, and then finally the week after. It'd be amazing if people would be on the edge of their seat this morning saying, I wonder how this is going to end. I wonder how this is going to be. Or waking up next week and saying, you know what? It's John chapter 6. Wonder what else is coming. I think there's three things we can learn from today's gospel. The first thing is to be metaphysical. Big word, metaphysical. You go into a lot of bookstores and you find the metaphysical section or the self-help and, you know, all these crazy Zodiac books and Wicca books. But what I'm talking about by metaphysical is just above the physical. Meta meaning above, right? And physical, the physical reality that we have. The people in today's gospel were not metaphysical at all. They were very physical. They were concerned about their belly, as many people are today. They're just concerned about their needs and, unfortunately, just the needs of themselves and no one else. And so the people in today's gospel are not metaphysical. They just are focused on themselves and their own needs, and they come to Jesus, but they're not coming for the right reason. They're coming because they had eaten the loaves, they had got their full or their fill, and they're looking to Jesus as a king or someone that's just going to simply provide bread for them. So the first point is to be different, to be metaphysical. And what that means is that we elevate our minds and we're not just focused on the here and now. You know, people who are atheists, people who do not believe in God, or people who don't know if God exists, the only thing they have really is the here and now. That's it. You talk to an atheist, it's hard to argue with them, or someone that doesn't believe or doesn't know if there's a God. And the only thing they really have is the here and now. When someone dies, it's over. You know? That's all they have. They only have the physical. They're not spiritual. They're not metaphysical. They don't look above what's physical. They only look to what they can see. I guess the way you would say it is what you see is what you get. That's it. An atheist, an unbeliever, what you see is what you get, and that's it, folks. There's nothing more to it. But people who are spiritual are metaphysical. They look above the physical to see beyond it. Now, here it is, the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week, and we gather together to hear God's word and to receive the sacrament. We are called out of the world. We are pilgrims, called out of the world to witness our faith. When we celebrate this supper, we witness our Lord's death and his resurrection. We are metaphysical people. I bet you never thought of it that way, but we really are. What we are confessing to our loved ones and our families who are staying home and to the rest of the world is that we recognize that there's more to life than just the physical. There's more to life than just a job or a pension or a house or family or our savings. Now, that's important, right? But when we come together on the Lord's Day to worship, to hear God's word, as we need that, to feast on the sacrament, we need that. We are confessing that we are Lord's Day people, that we are saying that there's more to life than just working. There's more to life than just success or a house and a home and a career and a family. There is more to life. And sadly, most Christians don't ever make that connection. Oh, I don't know if I'll go to church today. Maybe, you know, I've heard the gospel before. I think I'll sleep in. Or, well, I have other things to do. And it kind of reminds me of the people in the Old Testament in today's gospel. We really haven't changed much. Moses is leading the people, and they're grumbling against the leaders. They're grumbling against Aaron and Moses. They want food. They want to go back to the way it was. Oh, if we could just go back the way it was, right? And they're complaining. And so Moses prays to God, and God rains down manna, gives them the food during the day, and even as they're complaining, he gives them meat by night. The second thing we learn is that this is limited. Temporal food is limited. It doesn't last forever. If you know the story from the Old Testament, Moses told the people to gather the food for 6 days. And on the sixth day, to gather more than you needed. Why? Because the day of the Lord, or the Sabbath day, was a day for worship. It was a day of rest. The people of Israel were to focus on the fact that they were a metaphysical people. They were to focus to all the other nations that were pagan, that there's more to life than just food. And so they gathered more than they needed on the sixth day, and on the seventh day they had the food that they needed. But they were witnessing to the nations that there was a spiritual element to life. That was their calling. They were to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's no different. That's what the church is called to do. One body, one faith, one baptism. Now, I'd like to tell you that they did a really good job, but they didn't. Some of them, they gathered when they shouldn't have, on the Lord's Day. They went out, I should say the Sabbath, right? They went out and they gathered and they found nothing. And then other people messed up as well, and Moses became very angry with them. And the lesson is that God does provide, but he wants us to look beyond the physical, to see the metaphysical, to see that he takes care of us. In the Creed, we confess in the first article that we believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What do we say here? We say that God has blessed us, that he has given us house and home and children and wife and husband. He's given us all these things. Not that we deserve them, but out of his fatherly goodness and his love and his mercy for us. But that's not everything. Goes on to the second article, and I probably think that that's something we'll confess next week in the catechism, that God has given us the bread of life, and that's found in Jesus Christ. Salvation and life everlasting. The true bread. The metaphysical bread that gives us everlasting life. The physical bread, it's limited because it's temporal, it doesn't last forever, and it doesn't even satisfy. I mean, if you've ever had a bowl of potato chips or eating a bunch of Doritos, you know, you just want to keep on eating. Or you get that new car and then you want something else. Or you get the new TV and you wish you bought a bigger one. Or you get the new house and you think, well, I should have got the one with the pool. People aren't satisfied, and that's why consumerism is rampant in America. Two homes, two cars, this and that, a boat, whatever you need. But you know what? It doesn't satisfy over the long term. Houses need to be repaired. Boats need to be sold. What do they say? The happiest day is when a guy buys a boat and the day he sells the boat. And so these things don't satisfy over the long term. What satisfies solely is Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, in the Psalms and also in Proverbs, there's so much imagery about the Torah and the Mosaic Law and the Word of God with the imagery of eating and drinking. You find it in Psalm, I think it's 117, and other places in Proverbs, where it talks about a woman just laying out the food and inviting people to come in and eat of her wisdom, eat of the food and drink. And so Jesus picks up on this theme of the Psalms and the Proverbs, and he says, come to me, eat of me, drink of me, and you'll never thirst and you'll never be hungry. He's pointing to the fact that he is true wisdom. And many people miss it. Many people eat the marshmallow right away, and they don't find what's really important in life. And it's sad. Lastly, the greatest gift is what Christ gives us or what God gives us, and that is faith. In the third article, which I assume we'll say in 3 weeks, we believe in the Holy Spirit. What do we believe about that? We believe that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and called me. This is what we confess. We're not here today because, you know, we have a strong arm and we can say, I did this. I came to the waters of holy baptism. I believed. I had faith. We walk through that door of salvation. We realize that we have been called from the foundation of the world, that Jesus preordained us, elected us, predestined us, called us, chose us to be a metaphysical people, that we cannot take credit for it, that he has given us faith, and by receiving him, we have the greatest gift, which is everlasting life. Wouldn't it be great if people woke up on Sunday morning and said, you know what, I want to hear the rest of the story. I want to hear what happens in John chapter 6 next week, and then a week later, what happens as well. It was St. Ignatius of Antioch who said, he was a church father, who said many years ago, I take no pleasure in the corrupted food of the pleasures of this life. All I want is the bread of life. St. Ignatius was a metaphysical man. He realized that the things that are in life that are physical, they're temporary. They pass away. But what is eternal is the bread of life, which is given to us today. Amen.